I think Christmas is like a season of new shirts, eh, Chris? Yeah. Who got a new shirt for Christmas? Yeah, quite a few people, didn't they? I was thinking of the things that people get, new toys, new gifts. But as I talked to, I was talking to Dave about this Sunday, and I just said, oh, I feel like, what does God want us to say? And he just was mentioned to me about a great verse out of Romans 12, which urges us to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God as our act of worship. So I thought today we'd just spend a couple of minutes before we have communion just thinking about what that might mean. I was thinking how I just had a thought as I kind of even wrote a few ideas down. I just had this picture in my head, like of a sailor who might be heading out on a journey, a new journey, and they would go around and they'd check all the riggings and check all the ropes and clean up the rust and get everything ready. And I just feel like just this moment this morning is just a time to do that, just to look at our lives and just go, God, what do we need to be doing to get ready for this new journey ahead of us? Maybe there's a bit of rust there that needs a bit of preparation. Sometimes it can take hard work getting rid of rust, isn't it, depending on where it is. Maybe some ropes are fraying and need replacing, and maybe some waxing needs to be done, and just a few different things. So just as we share a few ideas, just keep that in mind. Let's put up that verse from Romans 12. This is from the Passion Translation. It's a beautiful piece of scripture. It says, beloved friends, what should our proper response be to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Isn't that good? Other translations begin this verse with Paul kind of saying, therefore I urge you, therefore I appeal to you. And when you hear that word therefore, it's always because something pretty important's preceded it. And it gives us a clue that what's gone on before this verse is worth considering. And so what he's talking about there is reminding us about the marvelous mercies of God that have been given to us in Christ. So what are those marvelous mercies? I thought if you're feeling brave, call them out as what you think they would be. Anyone got an idea? What are the marvelous mercies that God has given us? I'll start with one. It was like justification from the penalty of guilt and sin. That's a pretty good marvelous mercy for this new year. Anything else? What else could we think of? Joy? Yep. Yep, that sounds pretty good. Confidence of eternal life. That's a good mercy. Yep. New beginnings. Yep. That's right. We've got confidence of never being separated from the love of God. I know quite a few of you did the study with Kerry, and he just built up that truth and that belief and understanding that we're saved by grace, not by our works. So we're found under grace, not under law. We've got the Holy Spirit living within us, and we're adopted into Jesus. So these are these marvelous mercies that he talks about. And then Paul asks us this question, what should our response be to such kindness, mercy, patience that God displays to us? And he talks about how we're to become living, breathing sacrifices, giving up our lives in service to God as an ongoing act of worship. Not as a means to kind of earn our salvation, because we can never do that, because we're saved by grace. And there's just that sense, I feel like people just need to hear that you don't have to get yourself cleaned up. You don't even have to get yourself ready, or just wait. I spent a lot of my life waiting to get a little bit better before I presented myself to God. But he's ready right now to receive our everyday lives, the sacrifice of our everyday living in him. Ephesians 2, let me read you this. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared. So we have that sense of our whole lives being presented as a living sacrifice. You know, we know in the Old Testament, people had to basically bring animals, dead animals, to be slaughtered and to be atoned for our sin. But suddenly now we are the living sacrifice. We have the indwelling Spirit of God. And so we come alive to the altar. And the altar is not just a fixed place. The altar is everywhere, everywhere in our everyday lives. We present ourselves to Christ. He says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done. Listen to this. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts out of us, from within us, as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. The Message translation puts it even in a really like everyday way. Do you want to pop that slide up? It says here, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary lives. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Psalm 50 says, the life that pleases me is a life lived in the gratitude of grace, always choosing to walk with me in what is right. This is the sacrifice I desire from you. If you do this, more of my salvation will unfold for you. So this life of worship, this giving us of ourselves, is what Paul says is the appropriate response to God's mercies to our lives. And we have that whole thing of presenting our bodies and presenting our minds, the renewing of our minds. And out of that positioning of our hearts and our minds comes this act of worship, this humble service to God. And I was thinking about how does true worship to God manifest itself. And I was thinking how, you know, we have times where it's just worship between us and God, and it's quite hidden and private. But I think there's a big part of worship that happens in community. And we can say to ourselves, what does that love look like? And it looks like Christ. And he calls us to be imitators of him. So worship's everywhere, and that's why I love this verse, because it takes our ordinary lives, when we're eating, sleeping, whether we're in the community, whether we're in church, whether we're in an intimate, quiet time with God, in all of those places, we worship. Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God, beloved, as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we're not sure how to live that life of sacrifice and being a fragrant offering, then Paul urges us in Ephesians 4. He gives us some good clues. He says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So as we kind of just come together, and I look at you all and I think, oh, isn't it good that we've come? And we just can come and we say to God today, we offer ourselves again as living sacrifices, without obligation, but with joyful hearts at the mercies we've received from Christ. And this is our response, to choose to live in holiness so that it becomes the genuine expression of our worship. So I feel like let's just have a moment to pause in his presence and ask ourselves what it looks like to surrender ourselves to God. I was thinking about just over the week about the whole idea, often we have New Year's resolutions, and I'm not very good at that. I'm not actually a very good goal setter either. I kind of live through the moments, which is good and not always good. And I'm always frightened of setting goals. But I just felt, rather than goal setting, I kind of felt like it was just a chance to just do some reflection, just like that sailor would around the boat, examine things. And if I just pop that next quote up, thanks. The next, what does surrendering our lives look like this year? I put here that sometimes we need to let go of things. I read a quote says, letting go of the old to make room for the new. And some of those things that we might need to let go of, and this is just as much for me as for any one of us, offences, bitterness, misaligned thinkings and behaviours. Maybe destructive patterns that ensnare us or unhealthy connections. Even things which look good on the outside, like performance, to seek approval of others. And there's all the things that we are so reminded of that Paul talks to us about, unforgiveness, jealousy, self-promotion. There are things that cause us to trip up and not experience the full delight of his heart. On the other hand, there might be things that you want to embrace and run into this year and take a hold of. Maybe it's a new revelation of your salvation, that you're saved by grace and not by your works, a revelation of the Father's love for you. You might want to pursue what it is to have a transformed mind that chooses love and connection in all situations over your opinion and your right, self-sacrificing love. Maybe you want to embrace what it is to set boundaries, to understand your authority in Christ and to develop your passion and skills. The list is endless and each thing is unique to you. Or maybe it's just to choose to live more simply and to care for creation, this earth that we live on. What risks are we being called to take, choosing obedience over fear? To choose lavish generosity even when we can't see the means to do that. To choose honour and choosing the way of the cross instead of self-seeking. Jesus is very good. This is not a new thought. Jesus said this many years, thousands of years ago. He says, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to saving yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? What could you ever trade your soul for? How are we to reposition ourselves to be continually filled with his power and strength to embrace disciplines of love and communion, of devotion that allow us to be transformed into his image? And finally, what do we need to give away this year to others, to our community, to our families, to all of humanity? To give away more relationship over judgment and control. To give away love and more love and more love. To give ourselves, our resources, our times, our agenda. They're all things that challenge me. The last slide says, Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. Do we want to hear that today? And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your life for my glory, you will continue to discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. So this morning, we're just going to have this time of communion you know, just come and take the bread and the cup. And if you'd like to, just get into pairs or even groups of three. And as you're comfortable, you know, you might want to share some of the things that you feel like God is just asking you to reset, to give away, to take a risk in, to embrace and run towards or to let go of. And let's just pray for each other that the goodness of God and the kindness of God and the patience and the mercy of God would just create such joy, explosive joy within us, that we would just want to be people who just offer our lives up as living sacrifices, as a gift to God. So let's come, just take your time and come and just get into groups of two or three and let's just pray together while we have communion. Luke's just going to put a song on called Be Still.